are listening to Setting History Straight with Linda Watson.
Welcome to our program, and we have Curtis Reed on with us. I'm always excited, Curtis, to have you on.
Hi, Linda. Well, thanks for having me back on. It's nice to touch base with you and connect again.
So, Curtis, what are you going to talk to us about today?
I think today we were just going to discuss a matter of some authority crisis in society and potentially how that links into the design of men and women.
Curtis, you know, that's interesting because I never hear anyone talk about authority crisis. I never hear that because I think so many people are just clueless as to how the father wants them to behave in a family setting. And so that brings on a lot of the problems that I think we have in our society, right? But I know that you have a lot to say on this, and I heard your Clash of Civilization where you touched on this, and so I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say.
It's a little bit easier, Linda, I think, sometimes to look at the external, to look at, you know, the politics or the behavior of Rome or others, and I think it's easier sometimes to do that than to look into the brazen altar of our lives. And to our folly, when we don't understand that actually this is going to come back to the fabric of the Creator's design, and what the Bible is really talking about is the breakdown of this fabric with believers. And this is where I think there's a real importance that we take some responsibility as we discuss these bigger picture matters, like Clash of Civilizations, but we don't do it at the expense of looking in the house. And, you know, what are we doing as men and women? Are we buying into this modern, polarized narrative that's going on? And, you know, the way we raise our families and all these sorts of things. And so I think it's important that we discuss subjects like this so that it helps bring us into a place of repentance before the Father.
Yes, absolutely. So you keep mentioning the brazen altar, because that was the piece of the temple that was about relationships, was it not?
When you looked into the brazen altar and to wash yourself as part of, you know, preparing yourself to be in the holy place, the very design of it would act and show your reflection very clearly at the time you were washing. So the reason why I say that, you know, or that the mirror would be a modern expression of that, is really it's about what do we see in our reflection, and are we seeing the character of Messiah in us, each of us? And none of us are exempt from that. And so really I just try and say that as a reminder to myself first and foremost, and then hopefully to others, is just a reminder, is are we reflecting the essence and the character of our Messiah? And sometimes that can be a bit of a sobering exercise if we're honest with ourselves, you know, and how we look at our daily, you know, our behavior and how we run our families and how we are as spouses to one another. And I just have to say that I see a lot of the polarized modern narrative has made its way into the believing camp. And if we're the ones that are supposed to be the light, then, you know, then I think first and foremost, you know, judgment starts in the house of God. And I think it's important that we take that understanding and that instruction and, you know, just be honest with him and with each other and ourselves. And then we can start to touch on these matters like authority crisis and the design of men and women in an honest and biblical manner and not a polarized modern narrative manner.
Because, you know, in Scripture, it always talks about when you look into the Word, it's like a mirror. Different people see different things, and it doesn't mean somebody else's viewpoint is wrong necessarily. It just means that they have a different piece that they're looking at that the Father's showing them. So I think that's the same concept.
It is, and when we're willing to do this, we can deal with a lot of the things that are going on in our personal lives, and then I believe look at those outside the house in a lot more healthier and loving manner. Which is important because as the Creator's design is being distorted right now, and especially in modern Western culture, you know, we're starting to see a very much a disturbing lack of respect for men today. And we're seeing a disturbing lack of cherishing for women. And if a man is respected He's valued. He feels valued. If a woman is cherished, she feels valued. And these are the basic essence of what Scripture is trying to put forth in the design. And when we lose this, then we're going to lose essentially celebrating the differences of men and women and enjoying and embracing that. And then understanding how the Scripture is saying to come together, as one, chad, so that we can see both better in the physical as well as the spiritual realms. But what the modern narrative is doing is it's destroying the respect for men right now, and as a result, the cherishing of women is evaporating. Now we've got a very serious thing starting to unfold in society as we lose the basic design of men and women and trying to become this, androgynous sort of, weird mix. And we have gender issues and all these sorts of things that are starting to come out, which really preceded the fall of Rome, which a lot of people may not be aware of, how Rome 2,000 years ago, before it imploded internally, the society is kind of reading like a newspaper today. And so it's very serious. And I think, I'll be honest here on this one, Linda, I really think women are going to be the losers and are becoming the losers in big time in this modern narrative that has happened, because men are abdicating headship and no longer being motivated to do it. And so men are not growing up as a result. They don't see the responsibility to do such a thing. As that continues to happen, the man's design, which is sensitive, to be kind, to be strong, and to be protected, to be protective, this is the man's design. And the woman's design is to be sensitive and kind and strong and nurturing. And what is happening, essentially, is, I believe, because that protective design in men is being destroyed so much by the modern narrative, they no longer are taking up their responsibilities and therefore no longer growing as men. What's happening is, long-term in society, women will no longer experience the protective value of that design, not mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically. This is not good. This is not good at all of what we're actually seeing unfold right now.
It just was a slow process for this to happen, right? Originally, the two members of the home, the husband and the wife, would work together on a farm. It was an agrarian society, right? The father was now taken out of the picture when the Industrial Revolution hit. And so now we have the circumstance of the woman raising the children without a father, except at limited times during the day. And so this is progressively going on, and now you've taken the woman out of the house. So the children are the ones that are really being hit the hardest by all of this, isn't it?
Yeah, essentially, we're going to end up with a really imbalanced situation where first you have you end up with the abdication of men in their design and society, and then ultimately you'll be left to the women to do everything, and you'll be left with half the design, but now it will be essentially just the women's design actually trying to raise young males and being the role model and the influencer and everything. And the problem is when you do that without the true male design, you're not essentially going to raise men anymore. We're seeing this come through now. We're losing maturity. I mean, a young man, used to be mature at 20 years ago in generations gone by. Now they're lucky to be getting any form of maturity, if at all, after 40.
One third of them live at home.
Yeah, and demotivated and going into issues of depression. As society continues to degrade that value of the design of men's society, where essentially men will no longer be motivated to work or to aspire in whatever field that they may have interest in, raising of their children, there'll be no input or very diminished input on that front. And so essentially this can lead to very serious depression in men, because again, if you take away respect of a man, which is inherently the essence of what makes them feel valued, you're going to essentially destroy that component. And I think Hasatan is doing that. You know, in Clash of Civilizations, I mentioned to you that if you want to take out a society, you have to take out the men first. And you do that either physically with war or socially. And right now in the West, we are seeing it being done socially as it was done in Rome thousands of years ago. And so this has very, very serious consequences, because the design of men and women, especially as it relates to depression, manifests itself very differently. In fact, in clinical studies and things like this, we're finding that, you know, women will tend to blame themselves when it comes to struggling with matters of depression, where men will tend to blame others. Women will express a feeling of sadness and apathetic and worthlessness in a sense of depression. Men can feel angry and irritable, or try and compensate with an inflated ego. Women will feel anxious and more scared as depression starts to set in. And we're seeing that in society right now, where men will express themselves being more suspicious and guarded. Women will tend to avoid conflicts at all costs in their design, where men will become engaged more in conflict. Women will tend to feel slowed down and nervous, tend to feel more restless and agitated. You know, these different ways that they can express each other, there's, as general rules of thumb through these clinical studies. Interestingly enough, women in the clinical studies tend to find more trouble finding boundaries without that protective design around, which is interesting. So you're finding a lot of young women are getting themselves into a lot of trouble as they're unable to sort of understand these boundaries. And obviously that can express itself in all sorts of ways, particularly promiscuous behavior right now. For men, the need to feel in control at all costs. So they're trying to, you know, control their environment. Well, if they're demotivated, this is why I think a lot of things like older men and whatnot getting caught in these, into video gaming and things like that, because it's an environment they can control. So it's a form of addiction, because society is no longer providing it in a meaningful way. So they're looking for ways, or say sports, just being involved with environments that can essentially be controlled. Women find themselves a lot easier to talk about self-doubt and despair, where men don't. It's hard for them to admit weakness and self-doubt and despair. And so these sorts of things play out that way. Even they found even studies, the use of food and friends and trying to, like I say, this promiscuous to as a way to self-medicate tends to be something that sits more in the women's design as depression sets in. But for men, it really does express itself often in abuse of alcohol, you know, television, sports, and also sex, sort of self-medicate. So as depression sets in both men and women, as we lose the biblical design in society, these things have very serious consequences, expressing themselves and bearing bad fruit into society in general.
It's interesting, and when you mention all of this, that's why it's told to you that when a child is fatherless, Or you had someone in your congregation that's a widow, that you're supposed to go spend time with them. And that's all over Scripture, and it tells you that many times, right? And the value of that, especially if a man goes and visits, that's that male role that the child can identify with. And so that's one of the reasons why he said go and visit the widows and the fatherless, because they need that male role of some sort in their life. And this is my perspective. If a man doesn't have a man to teach him his role, he won't learn it. He won't learn his role.
No, you lose the essentials of what a man and woman being a child, or coming together as one, as the Bible would put it. You lose that essentially in society. And so as you lose it, you get this weird sort of androgynous gender thing where you don't really have men or women anymore in society, because men are becoming more feminized and women are becoming more masculinized. And what happens is you don't end up being able to celebrate and value the differences of both being passed on to the children, because we've bought into this modern equality narrative. And of course, the Bible doesn't speak about equality. A man and a woman are of equal standard and stature and value to the Creator. And in fact, it was about the two becoming one. But this is very much under attack in order for that to occur. Now, there's abuse on both sides. Now, again, you know, we're speaking in a big spectrum here in rules of thumbs and generalizations. There's always exceptions to the rules and people that overcome in whatever circumstances they are. But I hope the listeners understand that what we're talking about here is not the exceptions. We're talking about the general direction and trends of society is starting to bear very bad fruit. You know, we need to take the Bible seriously, that we're not going to change this, at least in the believing camp, unless we take seriously the Creator's design and value both the design of men and women and not buy into equality arguments. The equality argument to me that's being pumped in this modern narrative is just so destructive and almost silly to me. I don't know good men or women that think that a gender could ever make you more value or have more worth in the Creator's eyes. It doesn't even make sense to me. I don't know where this narrative came from and why we're believing in it. Just because there's abuse on both sides doesn't mean we change the very structure and fabric that makes a society healthy. We should be celebrating the design differences of men and women, and understanding the beauty of that, and then be working together how that becomes one so that children are raised in healthy, balanced, and constructive environments.
Well, they have to have roles played in front of them so that they learn from those roles. If they don't have the roles played in front of them, they pick up the role that they saw. And that's a case of a lot of people have single-parent homes. If that child only sees one person, and that's the role he's going to pick up, he or she's going to pick up on. And that person has to step forward sometimes and do the job of both if they're in a single household.
I see it all the time. You look at, say, a single mom, for instance, there the male role model is not there. When you see those children come together where there are male role models and, say, in a fellowship environment or things like that, they'll start to flourish. Their behavior will actually change. They're getting some structure, some discipline, some accountability, because they're just looking for it. And all of a sudden, you'll see them come into a much different space, and the children are just happier. It's the same way for, say, a father trying to raise children on his own. You know, when you're brought into a fellowship environment and they have the healthy example of good example on the women's design, they'll see that they'll benefit. And this happens for both the male and female children. How this is something in society we think we can change or restructure at this point is just simply a psychosis to me. It's insanity. The solution to bad authority is not no authority. The solution to bad authority is good authority. And that's what we need to be striving for. And good authority comes when we have this design right at the family nucleus level. And between spouse to spouse, you know, man to woman. When that breaks down, we have no way to pass this through. So now then they grow up and then they go into a society. They don't know how to bring it into their jobs or into their functionality or into politics. So we're seeing the very fabric of political decisions now even being made, because this design has altered so much that we're trying to pass laws in order to meet the fabric of a society that's essentially falling to bits. Well, you can pass as many laws as you want. That doesn't make people healthier. That just means you're catering to the bad fruit. if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so we're seeing these changes occur at the political level, as opposed to actually admitting, you know, the root cause of the problem.
Hasatan has had his hand in this because his design, he's not a male or a female. He has no sex, and he has no race. And so he's creating people in his image. This is what's going on in our society, is that we've left Scripture, and there is two specific roles, that, and one's not any better than the other. They complement one another. So the man was supposed to emulate the Father and the Messiah, right? And the woman was supposed to emulate the church. They played those roles. And that's it's talked about in Scripture. You know, people today want to change all that. Well, you know, that was the role from the very beginning.
Think how silly this has become, okay, in the sense of the modern narrative. Now, I can accept the madness that's going to go on in Rome, because they do not have or claim to have any godly wisdom or respect that we have a designer. So nothing really surprises me when we see a lot of the madness that's going on outside the camp of the house of Israel. But here's how silly that it's starting to get, and to get our head around this. I don't know of a more important role than the nurturing and the raising of the future of a culture, a society. It's impossible to me to even conceive that there is anything more important than this. And yet, we have seen women's careers being elevated as if somehow this gives them more worth and it is better for society. Yet the biggest responsibility that I know of is the raising of children.
Right.
And so what we're doing is we're giving dollar value to things. We're giving, you know, well, if I make more money or if I have a better career, therefore I've got more worth. Well, I'm sorry, your career, the amount of money you make, does not give you worth. And the clinical studies clearly show the depression and the hurt and the pain that is now being experienced by both genders, having pursued such an insane pursuit. It's impossible to think your paycheck and your worth based on what you're doing could be greater than the raising and the nurturing of a human child, which is the very future of your culture. Now we've got kids being dropped off and being raised by nannies and people that don't even know them outside the family nucleus and the unit. It's not even their physical family. It's not their spiritual family. You know, they're born into this world. They've got 6 weeks around the mother or something like that. And now, you know, the mother and the father are forced to go to work or want to go to work, you know, depending on financial circumstances or whatever. We're finding women now, the maternal clock starts ticking and they're getting into 35 plus. They can't find a man that will marry them because men are going, why would I want to get married anymore? What's in it for me? I can still have my sex. So why do I need to give up, you know, my half my assets and, you know, or deal with all those other issues or raise children? Why can't I just still stay a kid and make my money with my career and still have my sex on the side? And this is what men are choosing because they're not maturing. And I know many women between 35 and 40 are now, I can't find a good man. And I'm going, well, this is the fruit of the decisions that we're making. Why would a man want to get married anymore? What is in modern society that's it for them if we've devalued the raising of children, if we've devalued the design of a spouse relationship of both the design of a man and a woman in that, if we destroyed this very fabric, then, you know, why would this occur? And so, you know, this is a very disturbing thing. Women are coming out of careers in which they were taught this narrative that this was going to give them the worth and make them happy. And now they're finding that, you know, they're struggling to find a husband in their later years, and the clock's ticking. And society essentially now is no longer able to produce.
I take care of my little grandson every day, and so because both his parents work, right? My little grandson, he's been with me all the time, so he knows exactly what I want him to do, and he does it. But yeah. Mama, it's because she has never spent a lot of time with him. She's involved with her job, and I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm not trying to place blame on people because
I understand.
There's different financial circumstances, right? But
yep.
If you don't spend time with a child, he's not picking up your values, and he's not going to listen to what you have to say. And that's just the bottom line.
You know, this is the bottom line. It's funny you mentioned this, but it's funny because this isn't a blame game. You know, it's funny. Sometimes when you talk about these matters, you can see that, you know, either people are angry because you're talking about it because they feel that, you know, they're getting some sort of blame or condemnation and blame on it, or they feel even more depressed because they can relate to the behaviors and they know that it's occurring in their own lives. And really what I say to people is that this isn't about condemnation or blame. This is about us, you know, the circumstances are very imbalanced out there, and the reasons for things, especially in any individual's lives, and how we find ourselves in the situations which are not ideal according to the Creator's design, can be for all sorts of reasons. And so it's not about trying to make people feel guilty or condemning them. This is about us just acknowledging, how did we get here? And if we can acknowledge that, then we can start to look at some of these causes of depression that is occurring in both men and women at an overwhelming rate. Just let me give you something, you know, psychologically, biologically, and social causes, just in depression in men, okay?
Okay.
Number one, overwhelming stress at work, school, or home. So there's no sense of shalom occurring on any level, essentially, of their life. So they're constantly experiencing this stress. Now, you combine this with men being disrespected, the role of a man being devalued, the motivation leaving. So just imagine this being brought in right now into somebody maybe just experiencing this every day in their life as a man. And this leads on to the marital and relationship problems, which men deal very differently than women. And again, if a man is not feeling respected, they lose that sense of being valued, and they can essentially retreat, totally abdicate any responsibility to the raising of the children of the men, because it's just all too hard. And I don't want to have arguments with my wife or whatever else it is. To aggression and violence. I'm going to talk about that in a second because this is interesting. As a result, men are often now experiencing they're not reaching goals, whatever they may be, in their day-to-day lives. And, of course, that's another sense of failure that's being experienced. And this is being experienced in young children as well. Losing or changing a job. So we've got all those sorts of things. The financial problems that can cause, again, just being worn from the man's perspective, plays out very differently than women. We're going to talk about the women here in a second. Family responsibilities, just even for caring for the children, the spouse, or aging parents. If they're being stripped away from their ability to be protective in the ultimate element of their design and therefore feeling a sense of worth, every one of these elements, if you diminish those responsibilities, are going to bring depression in men. And so essentially this leads to a loss of independence in the sense of a man being able to try and steer their lives, their family nucleus lives, their role as a husband, and so on and so on. So if we step away from that, though, and look at the women of the tending causes, again, this is on the psychological, the biological, and the social, but women experiencing depression can often be focusing or rehashing negative feelings. Women are a lot more nurture designed, so they're just a much more of a nurturing design as opposed to the protective design. Well, the fact of the matter is we can buy into this modern narrative all we want, but it will not change inherently the design of a woman. And so they will rehash negative feelings. a lot more and in a very different way. And what is that overwhelming stress they're experiencing now in their work environments, trying to have careers or the financial pressures of two parents having to work, all those sorts of things, managing and juggling so many things. Women, whether they're in a single parent situation or whether they're in a married situation where the husband has abdicated headship because essentially a modern narrative has forced it. And so now all of a sudden the woman's left to be picking up everything. Huge amount of stress going on. How about body image issues? Just massive right now. So if it's not bad enough now, the woman was sold this bill of goods that her worth is now in a career and making more money. She's now juggling everything in the home as well. And then all of a sudden you're bringing in just things that are going on in the modern narrative with body image and making them feel essentially a sense of less self-worth because they don't look the way they should. And then the failure of family responsibilities, how that plays out on a woman where she's, you know, trying to juggle everything and now she's failing as a mom, seeing this in her children. And so you, no matter what you do, this, again, rehashing the negative feelings, all these sorts of things. And then let's bring in the physical design, just physically what's going to happen. You could be having even health issues that come along where women experience things physically in the design of their body that men don't. And so they're having to process all this modern narrative that sold them all this bill of goods on the woman's side now, which is just terrible. And so the value and the cherishing of a woman is becoming so devalued, and you got men abdicating. So, you know, these are things that a woman can experience that they need cherishing more than ever. They need that empathy, and they need that strong design of a man. It's no longer there in society. Just like when a man is experiencing all of these things, they need the nurturing side of a woman. I know that when I'm in a bad place, Linda, it doesn't matter whatever dimension I'm experiencing as a man, no one can provide me what my wife can. When I'm experiencing, as we all going to, the tough times in life.
Yes.
And when she comes and brings that design, when I'm in that space, she can literally pull me out of a depressive place. But if we no longer, in much the same way, I can do that for her. So we're experiencing all this depression in society, running to pharmacia and pharmaceutical psychotropic drugs as the answer, drugging ourselves, numbing ourselves, as opposed to allowing the strength of the design for my wife to pull me out of this place and for me to pull her out of that place. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense. For a woman, one of the most important things to her is her children. If she feels unsuccessful as a mother, that's a major hit for her.
Yeah. And so it's not about, you know, let's bash women for a modern narrative that's trying to take away the worth of men, for want of a better term. That is not the right thing to do. There are many women that do not like what's happening in society right now. But at the same time, I'm trying to say to men, understand that this narrative is affecting women just as much as it is you. And even though it might be playing out, I'm trying to say to men, in reality, this is not good, because we need to step up as men, and we need to bring that protective element to the design, and then we need to provide with that the cherishing of women right now. And I'm trying to say to men, we need to step up, regardless of what this modern narrative is doing, because our women are paying a huge price right now. And whether they even see it yet or not, they will. They will. They're going to be waking up one day going, what has happened? And if women are process their feelings, and especially feelings of depression, very mentally, and to a much more sensitive degree because of the design, you know, it's funny that I find myself fighting right now for the depression that is starting to occur in women because of this modern narrative. And so it's a really interesting thing. Let us not, at least in the house, buy into this narrative that is pitting men against women. This is ridiculous. Men, stand up and fight for the design of men, and learn the respect and the cherishing that you need to provide into this situation for women. And women, good women, I'm saying to women right now, because men are losing their voice in this modern narrative, and I'm saying to good women, please stand up and say no more. to these extreme narratives and these extreme ends of the feminist movements and whatnot, when good women stand up right now and say, no, you're not going to destroy our men. You're not going to devalue them. No more. This is not good. When good women do that, we will see men have a chance to come back and to respect their roles, and cherishing will be a result of that. I don't know any man who is truly respected by a good woman who does not value and cherish that woman. He'll climb a mountain and fight the armies for her. But I'll tell you, if you take away the value of that man and you disrespect him, my goodness.
The scripture talks about you set your husband in orderly array. That is the definition they have in the Greek for the word to honor and obey your husband is to set him in orderly array. That means to show him respect.
It is. It's not about being a doormat, like they try and betray it. Well, to be a woman to, for men and women to submit into one another, to respect the design, to understand why a male with that protective element has a headship responsibility, doesn't mean that he's worth more. And it certainly doesn't mean that the woman becomes a doormat. When a man fully understands his responsibilities and role biblically, and a woman does, you're going to see that both are equal, of equal value, with different designs and responsibilities. And all of a sudden, all these bad examples or abuse that has occurred on the extreme ends in a godless society have no place for our discussion inside the camp. Why have we allowed this stuff to creep in to us as believers? I just don't know any man that understands the Creator's design and respects the Creator's design and incorporates that into his walk, who does not cherish and value his becoming one with his wife. Because ultimately these men know, I see spiritually better with her. I walk in the physical, in this life, in this short thing we call life and the time domain, I walk better, more productive with her. And so we've had this modern narrative that has pitted men against women subtly, and now it's playing out in all manner of bad fruit, and now we're seeing a reaction or a backlash, which saddens me, because sometimes the backlash against women right now is even more destructive than the original. I think when men abdicate headship or when they abuse it, let's hold that authority to account, whether it be at the family nucleus, whether it be at the political or the education or just in society. But man, we are throwing out authority at the actual nucleus of how we survive as a culture. And we're somehow going to expect good fruit from this, and it's just not coming, Linda.
No, it's not coming. And another thing that I see slipping really bad is a discipline for children. I see that. I see how that's affecting the child, because I think the woman and the husband feel guilty about their relationship, so they don't want to discipline the child. Well, he's going to go ahead and rule the household if you don't discipline. I mean, that's just how it's going to work. Now, you can use different kinds of discipline, but that's another piece that's missing in the family unit. And I know people that never discipline their children, and they make their lives miserable. And they bought into that narrative also, that there should be no discipline in the family. No rules, let the child say and do what he please. That's never been God's way.
No, in fact, Tom, you're touching on one of the very serious bad fruits of what's happened with this narrative, because essentially discipline has been thrown out as a result of losing the design of both men and women. I say to people, Linda, that discipline without love can lead to abuse. There's no question.
Yes, no doubt.
Okay, and there are those examples in society, but that's not what we're talking about here. I'm not going to use the extreme abusive elements to change the whole fabric of the design in society. But I do say this, discipline with love is love. In its whole spectrum is required for the raising of children. And this is this whole understanding. I do a teaching series called Under the Rod, and understanding this word rod and how it's used in the English, because there's actually four different meanings in the Greek and the Hebrew of how this is being administered. And that you, that our King, our Messiah, Yeshua, he's administering the full essence of authority. But we often think, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, this sort of thing, you know, that that's all about smacking a child. No, it's not. That's only one very small dimension of something that we've lost this ability to understand. What does it mean to have a fullness and a balance of authority, and therefore it coming through even in healthy manners regarding discipline? So we're losing that, and you're quite right. If our children don't experience discipline, we're putting them in harm's way as they get older, and we're seeing very bad fruit as a result. From suicide to violence to filling up our jails to everything, because they essentially lose the ability to behave well to others and with, and essentially have a narrative in their own mind that is healthy. And they essentially, they're waking up as young adults wondering, where am I going wrong?
I want to make sure that we comment something on a little bit on adultery, because that may not be a problem for many of our believers, right? But it is a problem in our society, and what it actually does to people in the family when there's been a case of adultery. And I see that a lot of times that'll lead to a divorce, and the child that has been involved in that family, the girl, if she's seen her daddy or her mother either who has committed adultery, the girl, she will never trust a man again. She's not going to be quick to trust men. You know, they pick up on that behavior. They see it, and then why would they want to go out and marry somebody when they see, well, it'll happen to me too? There's some resistance in trusting people. It's a real huge trust issue for people to commit adultery. It doesn't just impact the two mates, right? It heavily impacts the children.
Yeah, it's adultery is a fruit of this. You know, it's the fruit of the root of leaving the Creator's design. And so then you're quite right. Then what comes on from that? Well, then we're going to see trust issues are massive in society now. So we're seeing the bad fruit, distrust, you know, adultery, all of these sorts of things. And at the stem of it, if we can see that actually we have left the design of men being respected and women being cherished, wow, it's just flowing on and creating all of these issues. And adultery is one of the most serious things that anybody can live and to have to go through and to have to process. And most of the causes of adultery have nothing to do with the spouse not wanting or loving the other one. It had everything to do with them not knowing how to, because the design is gone. Just some few basic steps that I think men can do, and I think women can do right now, to at least reset ourselves to get a chance to get authority reestablished back at the family nucleus and at the spouse level, so that the good fruit of that can at least come forth in believers. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Basic things that we can do. And of course, first and foremost, it's just an honest place. Like I say, we started in the brazen altar, looking in the mirror, and then getting on our hands and knees and praying to the Father that we acknowledge this, asking for forgiveness. And how do I change? When men and women do this, it can change the game, you know, from a spiritual perspective. I think we just need to repent and to be honest and stop justifying, trying to argue these things. Just be honest before the Father and pray. Number one, for both men and women. But if you look at practical steps just in men, okay, and what I'd say to men is avoid isolation. Make quality time with others. Get into fellowship, discipleship. This is what Yeshua modeled. Just to walk with other good men that are trying to honor what our Messiah patterned, and then why discipleship is important. This is what we do in the donkey stables, and why we're trying to promote discipleship, so that people can deal with their emotionally arrested development that has occurred, in society because the model is broken down. So this is very important. Number two, to move, just to exercise. This triggers responses in the body that, you know, that can bring about the endorphins and things that even just a little bit of doing those things can just help us. You know, this, you know, just consuming the right foods can be, we have terrible diets right now. You know, even just relooking at our diets and thinking, well, what, how can I even eat better in order to be in a different place so that at least my body is functioning so I can be looking at these sorts of things. Spending time outdoors, my goodness, I mean, people are not doing this. Just even the physical effects of sunlight that the creator has built into the design. So spend the time outside, making sleep a priority in people's lives. Again, you know, the lack of sleep that's going on. So, by the way, as I say all of these things, especially for men, I'm giving this advice right now, and I have to make conscious, focused efforts to try my best on every single one of them because I fail miserably at all of them from at various times to various degrees in my life. So this isn't about pointing the finger. It's just about practical, conscious steps. I'm just trying to say to men, you know, just make quality time with other believers at the discipleship level. You know, turn off the YouTube and the internet or whatever it is and just walk with other men and believers. So, you know, that prayer, admission, spend time with the Father, spend time with others in proper discipleship levels, more intimate level of discipleship for women. But then if you look at the practical steps for women and their design, you know, they need to talk about their feelings face to face. And so in a lot of ways, good, healthy discipleship environments for women is vital. And this isn't a time for gossip and let's bash our husbands or talk about things out of school or air our dirty laundry. Just spending intimate time with other good women walking in the faith. The Bible talks about how the more spiritually mature are to teach the less spiritually mature. Women are supposed to do this. And this used to be in a healthy spiritual society. Because women sometimes need to really hear from mature spiritual women. What do I do in this situation? Or I'm feeling this and that. And so as we have this breakdown of discipleship occurring in the body, and this is why, again, everything we do with Bible Pathway Adventures and in the donkey stables, everything's based around trying to bring discipleship back into the home and into the spouses. And so we're seeing just incredible testimonies come out of that. For women, avoid isolation. Again, exercise. Again, sunlight. Again, exactly the same for both men and women there. These are very natural things, of course, but we're just in front of computers all the time. We're stressed out in our jobs. We're not getting outdoors. We're not spending time in intimate relationships with others, and we're being disconnected. And the studies show over and over again that we as a society are designed to be in community. And Western culture is not only not in community anymore and so disconnected, but now it's pitting the very design of men against women. And wonder no more why we're seeing what we're seeing, you know.
Yes.
But we can, and there are many good women and men that are stepping up, and the men are starting to step out and not advocate their roles, at least in the believing body. And there are many good women that are going, you know what, I don't want to be a part of diminishing and disrespecting my men anymore. And the men are going, I don't want to be a part of not cherishing and having them not feel that value. And as that's occurring, and as good men and women get back to the biblical design, depression is leaving from those relationships and from that model. And that is where we can be a light, Linda. You know, so as I speak on one hand that we are in the end times and that we're in near time and all that sort of thing, on the other hand, we have an incredible opportunity to be a light. But if we don't get back to the essence of the Creator's design, I just don't see us being the light that is going to help these people have somewhere to go, have different answers than Rome and its madness and its solutions in a bottle and, you know, trips to the shrink and all these kinds of things, you know. Let's get back in community. Let's get back to the Father's ways. Let's get back to His design. And let's be that light, because I'm seeing good men and women do this, and there is good fruit that comes from them.
Yes. Yes. So, Curtis, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us today. And we're going to go ahead and close now, and we're going to say blessings to all and good night.